This episode is brought to you by HivePass. HivePass is the latest in membership management software that brings a radically different approach to how members join your organization, their experience as a member, and how you interact with them. Built by not only an app developer, but also a mountain biker, HivePass was made by a trail user for trail users. With an app-based platform, instant digital membership cards, ability to send push notifications to members, in-app trail status reports unique to your organization, HivePass is building the next generation of membership management software for your organization. Future additions to HivePass include an event system, automated custom trailhead signs, and much more. HivePass has been live in New Zealand and Australia for a few years, but just launched in Canada, and with this announcement, the United States. Over 50,000 trail users already use HivePass to support their local trail organization. HivePass is the world's first app-based membership management software built specifically for trail organizations. For all of the details, check out hivepass.app. That's www.hivepass.app. Or download the HivePass app today. You're listening to Frontlines, a podcast for the people that truly make mountain biking happen. Not the riders, racers, or product designers, but the builders, advocates, and the often forgotten board members of your local mountain bike trail association. Hey everyone, winter's coming to an end in my part of the world. It's been a busy winter, teaching lots of avalanche courses, guiding various winter camping trips. I had an opportunity to explore some new communities here in BC with my family on a ski trip, which was great. This week is spring break and I'm getting out with my son Emerson, who just turned 8. Our plan is to do some winter camping and try to milk a couple more winter days out of the season. But before I hit the road with my adventure buddy, I wanted to get the first episode of the season out there. So without further delay, I'm your host, Brent Hillier. This is episode 96, Frontlines. I'm joined today by Tyler Greenwood. He's a technology teacher at Howsound Secondary in Squamish, British Columbia. Hi, Tyler. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Brent. How's it going? Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah. First off, I just wanted to kind of share with the listeners how we met. We met over this past winter leading a cadets program on a winter camping trip. So we had a good amount of time hanging out with each other out in the snow in what were some pretty cold temperatures out there. But it was a great time. It was wonderful to meet you and kind of see you in that environment working with the cadets. How long have you been kind of with the cadets? How did you get started with that program?
So I started with the cadet program when I was 13 years old. It was really enjoyable because I got to do all these crazy, amazing things like biathlon, expeditions, go and travel to places all over the world. And I really wanted to give back to the program after I had finished. So I became a cadet officer and I started working with the cadet expedition program. So it just kind of went from there and I've been on more and more expeditions. And that led me to the winter regional, which was a blast. And it was great to have some awesome guys between you and Brian out there. It was super fun. Learned a lot. And a lot of good memories for the kids there.
Yeah, it was a great trip. Weather was absolutely amazing. It was certainly cold, but that's kind of a nice thing. I've had some winter camping since then that have been it's been a lot warmer, and you know, it's a little bit more wet when it's warmer temperatures. So it's not always better. I'd love to kind of really dive into today is your role as a technology teacher at the high school in Squamish. And more specifically, a program that you've got happening there, which is bike maintenance. Maybe just before we kind of dive too much into that program, just kind of share with folks, like, as a technology teacher, what's kind of your role at the high school on a day-to-day basis?
So, yeah, I moved to Squamish two years ago, and I got hired at the high school as a technology teacher, which technology teachers are generalists. We don't specialize per se in any one subject area. We go from anything from robotics to engineering to woodwork to metalwork to automotive. And recently I started a bike mechanics program, which, living in Squamish, it's wild to me that there wasn't a high school bike mechanics program. I run the bike race team here at the high school as well with some colleagues, and we have a mountain bike club. But bike mechanics just seems like a place that was lacking at the high school. So I got in touch with my superintendent, and through the support of some other my department head and some my administration, we made this program happen, and it's kind of grown into something pretty amazing. This is the first year that it's ever run, so it's been a lot of challenges along the way, but a lot of kids who are super into it, and it's been really cool to see their growth and their learning and their connections with the community and jobs and opportunities in industry.
Yeah, it's such a natural fit for the community of Squamish. It's so great. Like I'm sure, you know, the club or the race team has a lot of members as well out in Squamish. I know the one here where I live in North Vancouver is very popular, and lots of kids kind of joining that race team and the league. That's where communities from all over this kind of part of British Columbia will actually have a chance to race each other. So I know the kids in North Vancouver will have an opportunity to go race the kids in Squamish, and the Squamish kids will come to North Van, and the North Van kids will go down to Squamish, and they'll tour around to a bunch of different places. And it's a really great program. For a lot of my listeners in the United States, they'll be familiar, and I've had guests on the show as part of the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, or NICA. And that's kind of a US program that's like a governing body that kind of creates these mountain bike race leagues. It's a really cool program. But something that's actually been happening in this part of British Columbia for a good while, I don't know which one preceded the other, but the one that we have here in British Columbia is a little bit more grassroots, but it functions really well. And it's such a great opportunity to even bring kids that aren't necessarily mountain bikers into kind of mountain biking. Is that something that you see working with that high school race team?
1,000%. We have everyone from like Mateo Quist, or we had like Jackson Goldstone, or like professional riders riding with us, to some people who just got on a bike and they're just moved here from Korea and they bought their first mountain bike and they're on the race team. It's funny, we go down to North Van as well, and the Squamish kids who are used to this like beautiful flowy trails with all the amazing trail work done, they'll get down to North Van, which has amazing trail work as well, but it's a lot more technical than a lot of them are used to. So it's, they all complain.
Well, and it's always cross country racing, which I know most of those kids probably be a little bit more comfortable on a downhill racetrack sometimes than a cross country racetrack. But obviously, you know, from a risk tolerance perspective, the schools aren't, they don't want a downhill race circuit happening at the high school level. But yeah, we definitely our trails are a little jankier on the North Shore, a little bit more square. It's kind of part of the charm, the old school charm of the North Shore. And, you know, it's a big reason why I think a lot of folks like to travel to Squamish from North Van as well, is to get a little bit of the flow too.
Absolutely. Our race league's changing though. We're half and half now for enduros versus cross countries. And they may completely phase out cross countries in a few years.
Well, that's something that I know in the States, you know, they're very focused on the cross country aspect of things. And I am sure there's probably that discussion happening down there as well, but it's cool to kind of see that enduro style entering into that high school race league, which is really neat. Let's dive into this bike mechanic program. So, where does the idea start? Like, is this something that you kind of, you know, you're in class and you're thinking about this, or is this something that you see somebody else doing, or where does the seed of this kind of idea of this program come from?
So it was really funny, actually. I was in my entrance interview into getting hired into the district, and it was my first ever job being a teacher. It was my first ever time having a big interview for a job that I've worked the last 8 years in school to get. And the classic interview question, like, oh, how are you going to improve your workplace that you're at? How are you going to improve How Sound Secondary by being here? And I was just at a loss, and randomly popped into my mind, wow, Squamish, they like bikes. I'm pretty handy. I don't know a lot about bikes at this point, but hey, why not? We'll throw it out there for the interview. Yeah, I think I should start a bike mechanics program. That will really help the school. And I think it's a need I see here. And it was just kind of talked about in my interview. And luckily I got hired. And then a few months later, they approached me to be like, hey, in your my principal approached me, hey, were you serious about being interested in making this happen? Because that would be so cool and we should definitely do it. So it kind of went from there. The credentials that we have to be technology teachers, to work with the power tools, we get from the British Columbia Institute of Technology. And the program head there is a fella named Roger. He loves bikes, mostly like road bike racing. And he taught like a 1 week crash course on how to fix up a bike. And it was one of those really quick 1 week blocks. Like, we spent months and months on woodwork and months on metalwork. And he just threw bikes in there randomly. And so I had like a little bit of knowledge and then a little bit of knowledge from kind of wrenching on my own bikes and having fun. But it's been such a learn on the go process, because the skills that you get from working with your hands in anything just goes so easily from one trade to another trade. And it was a challenge that I was excited to take on, and I'm learning every day. There's so much that people in the community have, like, and just YouTube. I've got to give a huge thank you to Calvin Jones from Park Tool for literally every single one of his YouTube videos. That for the 6 months before I started this course, I was just like watching before I went to bed every night. All of that learning and all that preparation and kind of got me to where I am and making it happen.
That's great. Well, Calvin would be happy to hear that. I know he listens to the show. He's been a guest on the show as well, and he does a lot of work with that, the NYCA, the race league that I was actually telling you about. So, you know, I think for me, like, fixing bikes, as you kind of mentioned, and I completely agree, is this great kind of gateway into working on things, and the bicycle being kind of this simple machine, but maybe the first kind of slightly more complicated mechanism that you have an opportunity, maybe as a kid or even as an adult, to kind of work with. You know, it's not quite a car. It's not electrical. Well, at least most of them aren't. and so, you know, for me growing up, I was raised in a household in which my dad was not that it wasn't handy, but he was happy to pay the mechanic to work on the car. And so it was not something that we actively did. And I had a bike, and there was a toolbox. We had a garage, and I just kind of was curious about what happens when you turn this screw and what happens when you loosen this bolt and that kind of thing. Pretty much destroyed a bike by just taking it apart and putting it back together and not doing a very good job of it. But I learned a lot, and it was such a great kind of learning experience for me. To the point where, you know, you fast forward 5-10 years, I'm living on my own and I'm trying to get to work, and I've got a car that's, you know, I paid $500 for. And I thought, well, how much more complicated could this be compared to the bicycle? It turns out a lot more complicated, but you know, what they don't have for bicycles is Haynes manuals. So I got a Haynes manual for the car, and suddenly I felt confident that I could tackle some of these problems in the car. And it all came from that you know, getting started on working on bikes. And what's funny though is that, you know, I think about I had learned how to change oil in a car in a 1 week auto shop class. They did kind of a general shop class in high school at one point. And we did a little bit of the machine shop. We did a little bit of the wood shop. We did a little bit of the auto shop. And, you know, I think I was introduced to how to change the oil in a car in high school, but I was never introduced on how to fix a flat tire on a bicycle. And I thought, you know, that's kind of, that is a little bit, you know, cart before the horse, if you will. In the sense that why aren't we starting kids off with the bicycle as kind of a means to working on some sort of a machine out there? So it's great. Now, where maybe let's focus on the kids' perspective. What was their kind of reception to it? Like, what was their thoughts when this program was kind of put in front of them as an option for them to sign up to?
Well, it's, from my perspective, it's been fascinating to see the range of kids that were interested in this program, because I had pro riders who were like live and breathe bicycles every day. They spend every waking hour at the casino jumps on their bike all the time. And then the other side of the coin is we've got a kid who's never ridden a bike before. It's like, oh, bikes, that would be cool to learn about. And so everyone was universally really, really excited about it. What was interesting was to watch how level the playing field was, where every kid coming in, whether they thought they knew everything or they knew nothing. Like those hands-on skills of actually like which way to turn a bolt left or right, or just getting the confidence to work with your hands, to take things apart, to try things, to experiment. And I love how you mentioned when you were growing up that you took apart a bike and put it back together and it maybe didn't go so well. Our first project is I have all these old rusty donation bikes that are not worth putting back together, and how much learning that they get from just ripping bikes apart. And they're just like doing all the bolts and figuring out how everything works by just like doing it and making mistakes. And that's kind of how I structure my program, is like, if we had all super nice mountain bikes in here, sure, that would be nice, but I'd be so scared of them breaking all of them. Versus here we have like, man, our newest bike, which was just donated, was from 2003. All of our bikes are older than that. And it's great because the kids are like, whoa, what is this? What is this part? I've never seen this before on any of my bikes. And it's like, oh, that's a cable. That's how your shifter works. It gets pulled. And they're like, wow, we've never seen it before. It's all electronic. And so they get a more holistic understanding of how everything works together in a system. And you're comparing a bike versus a car. Yes, it's a more simple, open, friendly system. And it is simple. Once you start to work with it and understand it, it's like, oh yeah, that's how that goes together. That's easy. But before you really allow yourself to make those mistakes, and I see this with the kids, like they're scared that they're going to mess something up. And especially on their bike that their parents spent $10,000 on, they're not gonna rip it apart, because if they make a mistake, that's like that they're just terrified of what could happen. So they don't service their bikes properly, they don't take care of them, and they would only trust a mechanic to work on their bikes. And that's what's such a cool opportunity here, is I have so many bikes that the community has so generously donated that they can make those mistakes and they can learn from it and practice and practice and practice, and they gain so many valuable skills with their fine motor skills, to their critical thinking, to their mechanical mindset of how things go together, and they can take that from bikes and apply it to whatever job, industry, their life going forward completely, whether it's their washing machine breaks down and they don't have the $1,000 to hire a washing machine mechanic to come in, or whether they end up being an auto tech or any of the million jobs in between that require you to work with your hands, that skills, the mental skills, the learning how things work together and looking at something and seeing how it can be taken apart and reassembled, like, those skills are so, so important. And we see more and more, and especially as a shop teacher, I see this a lot. Today's day and age, not everybody has that father or grandfather who was like just an expert craftsman that passed down all the knowledge and would take them into his garage and be like, all right, we're going to work on this. No, they don't have that anymore because their parents didn't have that. And that those skills are no longer getting passed down through the generations. And so the kids that come into the shops here, and I feel especially this way in the bike mechanics program, they really get that opportunity to develop those skills, and they're soaking it right up. I had roughly 80 kids on the wait list for a 24 student program, and I'm hoping for a lot more this year, and hopefully to offer multiple courses. But we'll see how the course selection goes.
You've got all these bikes that are donated. You're kind of wrenching on them. What happens to these bikes after? Like, I assume, there's a couple that maybe you break in the learning process, but you've got to get some bikes that still work and that are functional. What happens to those bikes afterwards?
So our bikes, we have a mix of things that happens with them. Some kids bring in their own bikes, so they just fix those up. But the ones that are donated, the ones that are really old and crusty and rusty and are just, it would be way too much money to put parts into them and fix them up. We use them for the bikes that kids can just tear apart and learn from, and we steal those parts to use on other bikes. The ones that are kind of a little bit more worth saving, if it's a road bike or a cruiser or a hybrid bike or a BMX bike, what we'll do is we'll fix them up into tip-top shape. I'll assess them and we'll donate them to a kid in need. So there's a lot of kids around the school that are, or at the elementary school or at the French school, that are identified as like, they need transportation and they don't really have it. So we can talk to counselors and we'll donate bikes to those kids. And then if they're a mountain bike, we have started up a kind of connection with the Squamish Nation Youth Mountain Bike Team. And they're always looking for bikes and support as well. So there's a few kids from there that don't have bikes that we'll give the mountain bikes to. And also they've started to connect with us about actually the team bringing in their bikes, and we'll do a mentorship day where we'll take the kids, no matter what age they are, most of them are elementary schoolers, and they'll come in for an afternoon and we'll kind of go over some service things together, maybe how to lubricate a chain or how to, I don't know, the small things. And then if there's any larger things that need having done, they'll leave their bikes with us for a couple weeks and then we'll get them back to them, which allows them to learn a little bit and connect with us. We were super lucky. One of our students, her name was Rachel. She was kind of the head student at the Squamish Nation Mountain Bike Club. So she really brought that connection together. So that was really, really cool. And I hope that grows. And as we get more proficient at fixing bikes next year, we'll be able to help them out so much more.
These conversations, I always, I'm always so pleasantly surprised at how surprised I am about hearing from different folks and different programs. But I always have kind of this idea in my head of like maybe what somebody's answer to a question will be. And I don't know why, but I just felt like maybe this would have been a bit of a little bit of a battle to convince the administration at the school that this is a worthy program to have. And so to hear that this was kind of something pitched in your interview and then kind of asked after the fact, like, were you being serious about that? I think it's really funny, but it seems like there was support really from the very beginning. You know, I'm sure there was plenty of challenges, but, you know, from the principal, you know, getting that support is probably going to be really critical. How much was that integral, and was there other support within the school for this program to kind of happen?
The initial support of making it happen was great. They were like, yes, you should do this. Go do it. There's kids that are interested. We'll offer it in the course book. And so I had the agency to make it happen as a teacher. After that, things got a little bit harder because starting new courses, especially in the trades, costs a lot of money. And in the school system, we're like always, everyone is struggling for money. We have 100 more kids coming to the school this year than last year. All of our class sizes are maxed out. We can't afford all the teachers. We can't afford EAs. We're getting our library is being cut in half to build new classrooms. So we're losing half of our library because there's not enough money to build a new school. There's not enough money to build the portables that we need. So money is like where I keep hitting that wall, and the support ends there. So that's been kind of the struggles. But in terms of making things happen and like allowing us to be flexible to go on field trips with the bike mechanics program, like we do so much trail work with our local trail organization, the Squamish Off-Road Cycling Association, and I've had lots of support getting that happening. And my department head, especially her name's Vicky Schenk, and she has been just astronomically amazing at helping me make this program happen, fighting for grant money, fighting for financial support, helping me fill out paperwork and forms, and just always checking in, having my back, and making sure that everything's going as smoothly as possible. And so she's been my biggest force to help make this happen.
That's great. So when I think about kind of some of those upfront costs, you know, what comes to mind, it sounds like you've got donations of kind of bikes to work on, which is great. Maybe the bikes to work on isn't the hardest part. Maybe just the tools, bike stands. Like, what are some of the things that are needed to make this program happen from an equipment and supplies perspective?
So to make it happen, all it takes is a bike and some Allen keys. Really, anyone can do this program. Anyone who's knows a little bit, can do some research, and has a passion, can make it possible. Because bikes, especially older bikes, they were made with a lot of thought put into them by engineers and by passionate people and by people who knew bikes and people who worked with their hands. So you have a set of metric Allen keys and you can do a lot. For myself, like I wanted more than that. I wanted to be a lot more professional with this program so that kids would spread the word and be like, oh yeah, this is the program to be in. So the bike stands, like of course you can flip your bike over, but the bike stands were a few grand, and all the chain whips and the pedal wrenches and the, like it was thousands and thousands of dollars to start this course. Day one, when I started this course, I hadn't been approved for any funding for anything. So I had zero bikes, I had zero tools, I had nothing. And the kids were coming like the Tuesday of the first week in September. And I got myself out on the side of the street and I put up some signs and I was like, hey, has anyone got donations? Like we need something. I don't have any bikes. So I had these signs like donate bikes for HSS bike mechanics. I was out there like the person with the sign waving at cars that drove by, and it was actually really cool. Before I got shut down, because apparently that wasn't the correct way to ask for support from the community by my administration, we were donated 10 bikes. And those 10 bikes led to the next day, someone came by and was like, oh, I was driving by and I saw your sign. And me and my partner used to be bike mechanics. And here's some of our old tools. So I got a set of set of T-grip Allen keys and a pedal wrench, and then we went from there, and slowly I like kept kind of fighting for more money and support, and reached out to a lot of companies. I've got to thank Unior Tools for giving us cost on some of our equipment. Our local bike shops, I started just going in and introducing myself and being like, hey, this is a program I've started. This is what I'm doing. I'd love to talk to anyone who wants to hear about it. So it was me kind of just walking to different places, spreading the word. Our local trail organization has been, again, one of our biggest supporters as well, like doing a lot of advertising for us. I've had some professional riders that I just was randomly messaging on Instagram, hoping that they'd respond. And Steve Vanderhook out of North Van did some advertising for us as well, for just like, hey, if anyone's got old bikes lying around, donate them to the bike mechanics program. So for the thousands and thousands of messages I'm sure I sent out, there was a few really good people who messaged back, and I was like, we've got some things that we can do to support you folks. And that's been so cool and pretty special to just be someone just watching how much everyone who's in the bike community like care and want to give back to that community staying alive and thrive into the next generation. So many offers from people like the CEO of Nolly Bikes offering to come and give a talk about frame design and manufacturing to, I've had some Zoom meetings with like Forbidden Bicycles about the possibility of in a few years starting up an internship where we send a kid over there for the summer. So lots and lots of support there. And we're growing a tool at a time.
That's wonderful. You know, I foresee this being a great opportunity for some of these students to, you know, be able to put this on a resume and get that first job at a bike shop as well, and probably be advantageous for a bike shop to be able to hire a kid who has a little bit of training and isn't just kind of the grom that has, you know, no experience type of thing, which is wonderful. So, that must be, if it hasn't happened already, I'm sure in the next year or so, it'll probably be something that will happen in Squamish with some of these kids actually getting out there and doing the job in some shops out there.
Yeah, it's been cool. There's been several bike shops that I've connected with, and I'm like, hey, I've got this student who really was passionate and worked hard and was like, learned a lot and still new, but would it be... like, can I leave you there? Can I connect you to? Can because they're interested in jobs in the future. And I've got four or five shops in Squamish that are really interested in taking on students for summer employment or after they graduate. My best friend growing up, he worked in a bike shop through high school, and he's still there, Pedal Sport in Chilliwack. And man, I'm sure they were nervous to take on like a 15, 16 year old whenever he started, but now 10 years later, he's their one of their top mechanics and just there every day. So yeah, there's a lot of gold to be found in the students, and it's got to be cool for them with them having a little bit of experience coming in and that recommendation as well. So the kids have lots of opportunities. Sorka, our local trail organization, has offered any student who participates in all of our trail maintenance days that they will hire them. So if they want to be diggers, every single student in our class has a job if they want it. And then I'm working on lining up more opportunities with companies, and it's happening. It's cool. It's really cool. That they can be connected to something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. When did the trail building kind of enter the program? Like, was that something that kind of happened organically, or was that something you wanted to do from the beginning? You know, it's a bike mechanic course. I think it's a natural fit to introduce, you know, the full ecosystem of cycling, which is also talking about the infrastructure and the trails and that kind of stuff. But when did that come in for you as being something you wanted to include in the program?
So I think that started because when I was first thinking about this course, I had a little bit of imposter syndrome. I'm not a bike mechanic. I'm not. I have learned so much and I know quite a bit now. And the kids definitely get a lot of value out of like what I have to teach them. But I was worried, wow, a bicycle 5 days a week for an entire semester. Am I going to run out of stuff to talk about? So we had our Mondays were our ride days because we're working on bikes. We want to ride the bikes. And it's my way of reducing from kids wanting to ride their bikes and do wheelies around the classroom. It's like, okay, we've got our one ride day. And then Fridays, we work with our local trail organization. So the summer before I started the bike mechanics program, I met with the president, chairperson. I forget his exact title, but the big boss man in charge of Sorca is a fellow named Ian Lowe. And so we met about the possibility of collaborating and having a student crew. And so we had a bunch of meetings over the summer, and the head trail builder with Sorca ended up leading us every single Friday for the semester. We were in the pouring rain some days, and these kids still got up, still got out early in the morning to get to the trailhead, and moving hundreds of pounds of rocks around all day, digging, building jumps, grading trails, digging ditches. And so AJ, the head trail builder, was just amazing in how he was able to like connect with the kids and teach them about how to both maintain and create trails that are low impact, that move with the land instead of just cutting through the land, and are sustainable and friendly for all the users. And kind of in the direction that Sorca wanted to go. So he was kind of leading the charge, and there was a lot of other employees with Sorca that came out to help us. So we kind of alternated between like a full day field trip where we'd go out and dig on one of the trails. And then the next week we would spend the block, we would ride our bikes from the school to our local mountain bike skills park. And that mountain bike skills park, we'd spend a quick hour sweeping jumps, planting grass, cleaning up garbage. So that was just quickly during the block. And we do a lot of work to keep our local skills park all nice and upkept. So that was so amazing to have Sorca put so much energy and time to helping these students to learn about all the work that it goes into maintaining those beautiful, wonderful trails that we're so lucky to ride here in Squamish. And hopefully with our backs and our sweat, we were able to give back to them and give back to the trails, so we can be super proud of the trails that we have to enjoy.
Lots of interest from the students, which is wonderful. It's great to kind of hear this collaborative approach from the community. I assume, like, it sounds like you're out a lot. You know, are there just kind of random folks in the community that are kind of seeing this program, seeing these kids out riding around or out fixing trails? Like, what's the response from just kind of strangers that seem to kind of stumble across all these kids that aren't actually in the classroom for moments of a school day? What do they have to say?
Well, I guess it totally depends on the day, because our Monday rides, when I'm trying to desperately prevent them from doing wheelies into traffic, maybe not the best look for us. But it is so moving, the response we've gotten on like Facebook chats of like the Squamish Trails chat. Like, people are commenting, it's like, oh my goodness, who did this work on Roller Coaster? It's so good. I want to ride it again and again. And we've had hundreds of comments. And when people find out that it's a high school crew, they're like, whoa, that's so amazing. I wish I had that when I was in high school. Classic comment that we've gotten a lot. But they're just kind of so excited that it's happening. And what's great is there's so many kids who are in middle school or in elementary school who are starting to learn about the program. And so it's going to continue to gain traction and grow and build into a really strong program. And hopefully, as I learn over the years, it'll just get better and better. And also, like, there's some mechanics have really started to get on board in town. I was so lucky. I don't think I could have done it without him. But a fella named Nate, he works for Dialed In Cycling as their head mechanic here in Squamish. He also has a business called This Is Shop Class. And he teaches people who want to work on their own bikes how to do that. That's his whole business. And he volunteered his time so humbly, so selflessly, didn't want any credit, didn't want any money, like just like came in every single week on Wednesday to help me teach the class. And so many things that I didn't know how to do. He taught me how to do a brake bleed last year, and it was like, whoa, okay. And now I can teach the kids. And he's like teaching them how to do bearing services and lower leg services, and holy moly, just the amazing stuff that's way more advanced over my head that I'm learning how to do. He was in here teaching the kids and gave them so much more knowledge. So like, wow. Yeah. And then I've started connecting with him more to like learn from him. So we'll do private kind of tutoring sessions where he'll show me how to do something and then I'll teach it. But there's also the Nomadic Mechanic. They came out to help us support a Go By Bike Week. So they had a pop-up mechanic stand, and we had four kids out there helping assess people's bikes. And they were giving the kids tips and tricks along the way of like, oh, did you think about this when you were checking the bike? And so it's really, really neat to see the mechanics in town inspired about this program and them seeing ways how they can give back to these kids, and that's just so special for me to watch that happening. Like, that's more than I could have ever imagined for this program. Absolutely. Rely on your community. The more you can talk about it, the more you can share about it, the more you can get other people talking about it. I feel like my friends are probably all hate me at this point because it's all I ever talk about is this bike mechanics program. but the people in the community, they're your whole support system. And I've just been blown away at the amount of parts and bikes and stuff that's been donated to help, and people offering their time to talk about bikes, because we all share a passion. We do bikes because we love it. We spend all of our Saturdays slinging around dirt and trails because there's something so special about a bicycle, and learning how to take them apart and put them back together is just like, it's like music. But in terms of the physically getting it started up, if you don't know a lot, that's okay. We live in the era of YouTube and Google. Calvin Jones, he is the king. Truman as well, really, really great videos. So don't be scared of failing. Get bikes that you don't care about, and they're usually the ones that people love to just give to you, and just practice. Be okay with breaking a chain and trying to put it back on, and oh, you broke the wrong link. Oh well. Be okay with, oops, I connected the brakes backwards and I mangled up this shifter. It's okay. That's what we do. We fix things. So if we break it, we learn from it, and we do it again. And also, I guess the last thing would be patient. It's something that I'm taught every day when I'm trying to get the kids to fix something, and then the next thing I see is they've done something ridiculous. Like the one time they took an inner tube and they took zip ties and they filled it with water and they threw it at the other kid like a water balloon. Whew, have patience. They're just kids. They're there. They're there to learn. They're there to have fun, and they're gonna maybe do some silly stuff along the way. But just keep laughing, laughing along with them, and do your thing, and be passionate. And the kids will see that, and like they're into bikes. That's why they're here. So they're gonna love it no matter what you do.
That's awesome. Well, Tyler, thanks so much for taking the time to share about this. It's been great to hear from you. And it was just, you know, when we first talked about this over the winter, I was just really excited to kind of bring this onto the podcast and to share this with the listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This episode of the podcast was recorded on the traditional territory of the Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, and Stolo Nations. My guests joined me from the traditional territory of the Squamish and Lillooet. If you're curious to learn more about the traditional territory that you occupy and recreate on, then visit native-lands.ca. Like always, you can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at FrontlinesMTB. You can also join the Facebook group at Advocates on the Frontlines of MTB. And you can send me an email or audio file to info@frontlinesmtb.com. Thank you to Laura, Jeff, Alexa, Jacob, and Drew for your recent donations via PayPal. To become a Frontlines VIP member, to receive early info about upcoming shows, you just need to support the show via PayPal. You can find a link in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find a link to the How Sound Secondary's Bike Program Instagram account. Music, as always, is by Lee Rosevere. Production notes by Jennifer Pride. Artwork is created by Brandon Gallagher Watson and BGW Creative. And finally, I'm Brent Hillier. This is Frontlines. Thanks for listening, and happy trails.